ABMP, Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals, is proud to sponsor the interdisciplinary podcast from HealWell. Massage therapists and body workers who join ABMP get meaningful resources that make a difference in your career, including free online CE courses, online scheduling included with the ABMP Pocket Suite app, and comprehensive liability insurance that provides protection and peace of mind. Can't get enough podcast inspiration and information? Listen for the ABMP podcast with regular guest hosts Ruth Werner and Allison Denny. Discover why members expect more and get more at abmp.com.
Welcome to the season finale of Interdisciplinary. Thank you for joining us at this slightly delayed time, and we're glad you're here, and we're glad that we're here because everybody is here today. We have Carrie Jordan, Rebecca Sturgeon, Cal Cates, and Laura Bryant-Erner, and myself, Corey Rivera, to talk to you about our past season. But before we get to that, I would like to tell you about some special things that are happening with HealWell, because there's live classes again, and y'all know that y'all miss live classes. So did we. We're going to be happy to see your faces. May 20th through the 21st, we have a SCAR class with Kathy Ryan. I am happy to inform you that space is running out in this class and that you should totally, totally come sign up. If you're unsure about the signing up or you just want to chat, Kathy will be joining us for an office hours on April 27th, which will be open to everybody inside and outside of the HealWell community. That will be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you should check us out on Facebook to get the link for that and join us, because Kathy is a wonderful human to talk to. Also, we have the University of Kentucky hospital-based massage therapy classes. There is an adult session June 12th to June 27th and a ped session September 12th to 15th. And I know it is just a boatload of options, but we have an oncology class in Fairfax, Virginia, September 22nd through the 24th. We hope to see you at one, all, many, some, several of those classes. And if you cannot show up for any number of reasons, we also have a silent auction the weekend of April 21st. You'll be able to vote for your favorite murder mystery suspect. I'm not going to elaborate on that at this time. You'll just have to trust me and show up and bid on some very cool things. We have some very cool things this year.
Yes, and I want to add, which I forgot to tell Corey, so this is totally on me, we have another oncology massage class in
August
in Oak Park, Illinois, in the Chicago area. There is very limited space in that class, so sign up now.
Good times had by all. If you enjoy the show and you would like to participate in these conversations in real time, you can join us at community.healwell.org. There's a link in the show notes to a two-week trial, free for you. Good times for us. Please join us. Come chat. And I think that's the end of my spiel. Aren't you happy? So before we go any further, we have a wonderful pun from Cal Cates.
Well, wonderful might be a stretch.
Well,
what do you call an angry psychiatrist?
What?
A therapist.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't think that was an improvement over the other.
Oh, man. Ouch.
That is a, like, what do you call stereo when there's five people? There's like a... It was a Quintio Groner. I don't know.
Quintio Groner. I like it. It sounds very Irish.
Yay. So what are we talking about today?
This amazing season of the podcast.
Right.
That's right.
What have we learned, people? What have we learned?
Everybody's got problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
Humans.
Somebody go get the mop.
That's right. I feel like somebody just sent me this meme of a guy vacuuming over a little carpet and a fire. Like, you know, there's a fire in the middle of the living room carpet and he's just running the vacuum over it. I feel like it's a little bit like that.
Yeah. 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 So good episode, kids. Let's go. Well, it does feel like a little bit of Groundhog Day, you know, over and over and over again. Because I feel like we've had these conversations in various iterations. And if I was being unreflective about it, it'd be really pissed. Because it feels like the same conversation, the same conversation, and the same answers and the same non-answers. But actually, when I was reflecting on it and really reflecting on some of the folks that we had the great privilege to talk to this season, there's a lot of sameness going on. That is true. But it does feel like there's just the slightest bit of difference every iteration. So like maybe the spiral upwards isn't quite as expansive as I want it to be, but it does feel like there's just a little bit of movement. And whether or not that's in the direction that I feel is the quote unquote right direction is a whole other conversation. I don't know. What do you all think?
I felt like, to me, what was notable, I'll just come right out and say it, is the difference in what our guests were willing or unwilling to say out loud.
Yeah.
Because that's a place where, Rebecca, I think like there is a lot of sameness. And I was really interested in who was willing to say, look at this dumpster fire. And who was like, oh, over there, like there's something pretty. Look at that. You know, jingle their keys in front of us.
Look at this beautiful heating source, natural heating source.
Right, exactly. There you go. That's the way.
Did you bring your marshmallows?
Yeah. So
I thought it really spoke to intent. You know, we talk about that when we are working with our clients and our people. It's about intent. And I felt like this was another space where, you know, status quo and folks who are really trying to move forward and make a difference. And I think it just, I agree with Rebecca that I felt like at the end of the season that there has been some movement. And I think people are trying. There are some really good intentions, but it's incremental. It is slow. Which can be frustrating as all get out.
So I spent the last few weeks, for those of you who have been listening for a long time, you know that I have bipolar disorder and I get very excited in March. And I start concentrating heavily on one topic, and it's always a surprise what the topic is. And this year it was systems theory. And one of the things that I learned in my hypomanic state of concentration is that systems are really slow until they're really not. And there is an exponential growth factor that happens in lots of systems, whether it's the thing you want to have grow or not, that if you can figure out how to get started, will eventually perpetuate itself. And from that view that I now have, I think we might actually be starting to reach a climb instead of just a plateau. I feel like we've been plateauing for about 30 years is generally, I think, the timeline that people I talk to have settled on, about 30 years of plateau. And there seems to be enough people with enough frustration, with enough ability to connect with each other really for the first time, that we might actually start ramping something up. So there's your hope for the day. I have blessed it upon you. May it get you through the rest of this lovely Thursday.
I'm going to pee on Corey's cornflakes.
Yes.
You know, I really, I felt that way listening to Rebecca Barnett talk about what's happening in Australia.
Yep.
I feel that way. I felt that way in some of what Gordon MacDonald had to say about what was happening in Canada. And Lori Green too. I didn't feel that way listening to their American counterparts. In fact, I felt quite the opposite. And I will just say, I have felt less and less like many I am feeling more and more like many of our massage therapy organizations are not useful. I feel like the myth of the coalition was to me sort of really highlighted this season. And I'm not really sure what a lot of these organizations are for.
Yeah, I feel like what emerged for me, and there is some comparison that certainly, you know, it can't be discounted that because I don't live in Australia or Canada, that I don't know what is actually happening versus what the representatives are saying. And so I actually can hear the folks from America say what they say they're doing. And then as a practicing therapist in this country go, I bet that's what you think you're doing, but I don't actually see that happening. But I feel like what's really missing in our organizations is there's no organization whose goal is to lead us to the future. The organizations are designed to serve, quote unquote, their members, whether those members be massage therapists or state licensing boards. There's not if there was one, I guess NCB should theoretically be leading us to higher ground. And I feel like we've seen that continue to not happen. And that, you know, despite a variety of efforts, we are still in this place. And I hope that you're right, Corey. And I wonder in terms of the climb, if part of what's happening is that it's coinciding with these conversations we're having about equity and racism and, you know, gender bias and oppression broadly, that there's a lack of patience with non-transparency that's sort of feeding the, we've got to start saying what's happening here, and that like what is happening is we're afraid to hurt people's feelings. And we're afraid that, you know, if we set too high a standard that certain people won't be able to come along. And you look at physical therapy and social work and nursing, and they figured it out. I am sure some people didn't come along. They did something else. And that is how the world works. And I think that it's almost like our sense of ourselves as compassionate people or as like a compassionate profession somehow prevents us from doing the necessary brush fire to let new growth take place and for us to move to the next step. Yeah, I feel like this, you know, this morning we have a hospital-based massage therapy peer mentorship group, and we had a meeting just before this recording, and two of the folks on the call were sharing similar stories of they had done as massage therapists in clinical settings in hospitals or like infusion, oncology infusion centers. They had each done something that was very professional and collaborative, and they had been sort of shut down by people who were quote unquote in higher positions as medical providers. There wasn't any sense of like, wow, what this person did was good for the patient. We should look at how the structure doesn't support this kind of collaboration. It was, we need to shut down this massage therapist who is, you know, making waves basically. And I feel like our massage organizations operate in a very similar way, that the idea of what's good for the profession broadly takes a back seat to how do I help my organization meet the bottom line? And there are, you know, there's such a history, and I don't know that this is unique to massage necessarily. I mean, in the 18-ish years I've been in this profession, a lot of the same people have been doing this work, which in a lot of ways is good. You have institutional knowledge and you have people who have seen the trends over long periods of time, but you also have lots of interpersonal stuff. You have people who have volunteered for this organization, now volunteering with this organization and bringing their baggage with them. And there's all this unspoken sense of, well, I'm not going to work with this person because remember in 1998, we did that thing and they said this thing. And it's a very people thing. It's what humans do, right? But like, meanwhile, the patient is dying, but we're more worried about whose name is going to be first on the paper that gets published about what's happening, as opposed to like, does the patient survive and live a good life? And I feel like the patient is dying if the profession is the patient, and all around us, the clinicians, you know, the doctors are arguing about who's doing the best job and who's getting paid enough. And I think you're right. I think we have some real financial problems with our organizations, and we have a really high reliance on volunteerism. And it's problematic in a systems way that probably you can speak much more intelligently to, Corey, but we don't have great infrastructure. And so that doesn't bode well for a strong future.
As far as the systems stuff goes, there's a wonderful book called Thinking in Systems that if you're interested, you should read. It's extremely friendly. And one of the things they talk about is system traps. These are things that happen over and over again in all of our systems because we are humans and it's just how it works. But one of the really big ones was addiction, and they didn't mean necessarily drugs or gambling. Addiction is also the process in which one business props up another with resources, and none of the people who are propped up are able to create that infrastructure to survive because it looks like they're doing fine.
Yes.
So nobody puts the effort in to fix it, and now they're stuck. Everybody, including the people who are donating those resources, are stuck in this system where if you remove that prop, everything's going to fall apart. And we are heavily invested in that in several of our groups right now. I also wanted to touch on the point about institutional knowledge, and I don't think we have it. I think we should, considering all the people who have been involved, but we can't. It's not, I know things being written down is not the end all be all, but man, is it a really good way for everyone to be on literally the same page about what is up. And we do not have that track record. We don't know. We had earlier today another meeting about the Within Reach symposia, where we talked about Dr. Monk's presentation on the state of massage therapy research. And one of the things that pretty much everybody in the call said was, I didn't realize there was that much going on with massage therapy research. I thought everything had ended in the 80s or with Tiffany Fields in 1998, and that was pretty much the end of it. And this presentation was 2 hours, and there's a lot more going on out there and a lot of people doing a lot of work that nobody knows about. And that's just research. That's not even education or service or any of the other fields. So as far as institutional knowledge goes, maybe some people have it, but I think the rest of us don't.
I think research is a good example, Corey, too, because there is so much doubling of efforts and massage therapy research that's not researchers that aren't talking to each other. So we're not really making, I feel like we're often asking the wrong questions, or we're not making really well-designed studies, and we're not using the studies that do exist as resources the way that I think we should. And so I think you're right. I think it's a good canary in the coal mine for what's happening in our profession.
I think that applies to states as well. You know, each state is its own autonomous entity, and the states aren't talking to each other, and there's no collaboration to get a uniform set of competencies and regulations across the 50 states and territories. No communication.
Yeah, tell me about that. I'm living it right now because I'm planning to move to a different state. Why? where I have been licensed, like, fairly recently, and the process for me to get relicensed in that state is Byzantine. It's ridiculous. I'm just may not practice because I can't figure out how to get my license reinstated.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Over the course of my career, I've been licensed in 4 states and the District of Columbia. And every single one of those was a hot mess. It didn't get easier. It didn't matter how long I'd been doing this or in how many states I had been licensed. It was just a mess. And I was really sort of disheartened in the episode with Mylin about that if the state boards are FSMTB's members that they're serving, they're not going to ask for portability.
No.
And so is really, I was very sad about that. I felt like that's one of the, a major issue for our profession that I don't think would be really hard to fix. But who's going to drive that bus?
Capitalism. I think capitalism is going to drive that bus.
Oh, right.
Capitalism is driving that bus. See, and capitalism is a drunk driver. So what the hell?
I mean,
think they're an absent driver. I think they just put on the gas and like duck down and don't
driving on a suspended license. I don't even know what's happening.
It's a mess. Yeah.
Talk about being addicted, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I think it was also interesting that when FSMTB, the people we interviewed talked about the compact that they're working on, like clearly one of the biggest problems and complaints was the number of hours required in the compact.
Yep.
And like they were talking about it and my mind went to this image of this kindergarten class of crying children. Like that was the mental image I had.
Yeah,
like you know, why can't it just be 200 hours? It'll right. it's fine. Right. Like no.
Why can't we just show we know how to wash our hands?
Yeah. And where
I mean, maybe I have patience for a lot of things. I have no patience for that. Like, come on, we are talking about working with humans in a very vulnerable position, whether they are healthy or having medical challenges. And you want to talk about having people who are less educated, who have less support, who have less background. I have no patience for that, but I am also the education director.
Well, no, I mean, I think our whole profession wants like 200 hours plus time served.
Yep.
Like, you know, I've been here for a long time doing this. I shouldn't have to learn new things to stay.
Never mind that I haven't taken CEs after that 200 hours ever.
Well, and I feel like this is the weird double-edged sword that does in some ways make massage unique in that we're not dangerous enough to expect regulation to deliver us to higher ground. We are going to have to do it for ourselves. And I keep going back to the conversation again, Mylin, like MVP guest, although Rebecca Barnett was pretty amazing, that about how good we are at saying what we're not. And that like Rebecca, you were saying in Kentucky that, you know, everyone is up in arms that we're called service, you know, that in Kentucky, they're going to call massage service and it's going to be charge tax. But they're not mad because they're not being called healthcare. They're just mad because they're mad.
Because they have to pay taxes.
Of course, right. There's also taxes, right. But I mean, we have all these opportunities where we're miscategorized, misrepresented, and we're so unclear as a group of people about what it is that makes this representation wrong, that we don't have the language to say this is wrong because healthcare is this and healthcare is not this thing that you're saying we are. And so what do we, I think we have this weird demonization of quote healthcare that we want to say we're healthcare because we think that that's respected sort of in our culture, but we don't want to be healthcare because those people are money grubbing, pharmaceutical pushing, rah, rah, rah. And it's like, we can't have the cake and eat it too and then like smush it between our fingers and all the other things.
Well, and that's that's the thing too. I don't want to make this a podcast about how healthcare is broken in the United States. But I think that that's part of what drives the sort of ambivalence among some massage practitioners to really lean into we are healthcare, because all evidence to the contrary, we're not stupid. Like,
I don't want anybody to miss that. Just take a beat.
It's our new t-shirt. Corey, get on it.
I'm dutifully writing that down.
Oh God. Email for feedback is podcast@healworld.org.
Maybe we'll finally get an email.
But yeah, like we don't want to lean into a broken system that does seem to have in the way that the system is set up, not necessarily in the individuals who are doing good work in that within that restriction, a really anti-care bent. Yeah, and it's like the challenge of are we grown up enough to lean into a system while working to change it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know that we are.
Well, and I wonder too how much, I mean, certainly as you know, many of HealWell's programs, we are literally in hospitals, in clinics, like in healthcare. But I feel like part of what we're talking about is the conceptually the level that is expected of a healthcare provider. So you can meet that standard without ever going into a hospital to touch a patient. Or, you know, we know that doctors have a certain level of training. Nurses have a certain level of training. We also know that none of them are satisfied with the system either. Find me a clinician in today's system who'd be like, this thing is amazing. So I think that I don't know if we need a new way to describe it, but like when I'm saying we're healthcare providers, I'm not saying we all need to go into the hospital. I'm saying right. We all need to behave responsibly and ethically and learn as much as we can and be willing to, you know, as the dude would say, understand what to do when new shit comes to light. When a study comes out that challenges something that I already knew, I have to be willing and able. I have to have the skills to say, oh, practice is going in this direction because the science says this. And when I say we really need to move in the direction of healthcare, that's what I'm talking about, is we need to think more. We need to think better. We need to think more broadly and collaboratively in terms of like, yes, I am one person in this room touching a person, but that person is being touched and seen by lots of other providers in a larger ecosystem, or they're not, and I could be making referrals. But that is where we need to go. And we will have to do that because we're not going to make the case, even though I think we could make the case, that lots of people are being harmed by us not being in that headspace.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of pushback that I've heard from therapists who don't want to do what's necessary to meet those requirements is, you know, oh, well, I, you know, my training gave me everything I need to know, and massage therapy is an art. And I learned from one person and they passed down what they know to me, right? It's almost like an apprenticeship. And
artists don't do that anymore.
Right. But, you know, and looking back at the history of the medical field, doctors used to train like that. Nurses used to train like that. You apprenticed with one or two people, you learned your craft. Those professions became, you know, creating competencies and regulations, and which is exactly what massage is doing now. We are no different. We are going through the growth spurts of creating these structures for our therapists to be in the healthcare profession. It's not an either or, it can be both.
Yeah. I say all the time, I think of social work, you know, you can be a social worker who works in your home and never accepts insurance and has whatever niche kind of practice you want to have. You can be a social worker who works in a hospital and takes insurance. You could be in private practice and take insurance, or any number of iterations of that. But to be a social worker, you have to meet educational standards. You have to have clinical supervision, which is something, don't even get me started about how massage therapists need clinical supervision. Or you can call yourself a life coach. And those are different things, and that's fine. And life coaches, there's a place for them. They are useful, but they're not the same as social workers. And I really think massage therapy has to start to accept that that's a path that we need to take. And if you want to stay a rubber, that's fine. You can be a body rubber. But massage therapy means you have this respectable, useful, safe amount of education and competency. And I really, really think clinical supervision is something that our profession needs desperately, whether you're working in a clinical setting or in private practice.
So a lot of this conversation has been about the people that we touch and how to make that safe and how to be competent when you're with clients. And my concentration is so much more on the overarching theme of what goes on with all of us all of the time in all of our systems, because you're going to hear that word a lot, and I'm sorry. That's just how it's going to go from now on. But the thing that we also don't have as a profession and as a healthcare profession is all of that overarching stuff. Like, we don't talk about ethics the way that we need to, especially with what we do. We don't talk about what our coalition is doing. Like, what's the coalition's goal? I have no idea. And I don't think that they do either. I don't think it's a cohesive one. And you shouldn't have a group of people striving toward a thing that they don't know what it is, because that's, you're just not, you're just spinning your wheels at that point, like in the mud hole, spinning the bike, like nothing's going to happen. It's just a waste of effort. So we also don't have these like foundational things that a healthcare profession needs. We don't have good theory about what we do. We don't have pedagogical standards about what we do. We don't have research on pedagogical standards about what we do. And that's a whole nother kettle of fish. So there's no way that we're going to get to that hands-on in the room with people, all of those things that you want to see and all of that stuff that you want to meet and all of that professionalism without the rest of these like pillars available to you to lean on. And I don't know who's going to make them.
Well, the other thing, I'm sorry, Corey.
The coalition's not, so.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing that we don't talk about is sustainability. Like we don't talk about how it's real hard to make a living just by yourself with no partner or no other income, just doing massage.
Yeah, Laura, that's what I thought you were going to say, that you hear from massage therapists, because what I hear from massage therapists is also, what's in it for me?
Sure.
I don't make more money if I pay more for education and CEs, and you know, that education is expensive.
Yeah.
Because capitalism.
Absolutely.
But I think I think you're right, Rebecca. I think that is a huge elephant in the room, that there is no, there isn't a benefit at this point to having more than 200 hours in time served. And, you know, if you can do ear candling online for $10, why would you pay $1,000 for a hospital-based massage therapy training class? That's incredible and amazing, and you should totally do it.
And will change your life and in right. ways that are different.
Better than money.
Well,
we're not biased. It's fine.
That is a whole other conversation about what money gets you. But... Yeah, that's a whole other season.
Well, and I feel like this is one of the reasons why like organizations like HealWell have a place, because we're holding that middle space where we're creating a workforce for jobs that don't yet exist. And that, you know, over time we are demonstrating that, dear hospitals, what you need are people who have taken these types of courses. And you need to stop expecting these people to pay this money and time and then volunteer at your hospital. And, you know, so finding the therapists who are willing to sort of invest in that future, knowing that they may not come home from that class and go apply for one of many massage therapist jobs at their local hospital, like that's an understandably small group of people. And it makes me wonder about sort of the, I feel sometimes like we're pushing the river because we're talking about like, how do we get quote massage therapists to like move in this direction? And I don't think we do. I think we create a path for the massage therapist to want to go to this place, and that the path remains open behind us for people who go, oh, well, that looks like it's working out, right? But that the whole profession is not going to come this way. And I mean, that's kind of exhausting, but maybe less exhausting than actually trying to pull everyone in this direction.
Yeah. And Kel, I think an ancillary point is that not only are we creating the jobs for therapists, but also explaining to the hospitals, you can't just go and hire a massage therapist off the street to fill a hospital-based position. You have to expect these competencies from the person, and sometimes educating the hospital and putting that system in place to be safe for everyone, therapist, system, and oh yes, the patients, the people that we're serving.
I don't want us to forget that we had an outlier guest because of scheduling this season, but I really want us to talk about Andrea Levant because I thought that was an awesome episode.
Yeah. Say more about what you thought was awesome.
Well, I just thought another fascinating perspective about certainly intersectionality. I don't know. I thought I would say that and Cal would just be like, yes, let me tell you what was so much fun about talking to this person. So I was kind of relying on you to do that.
It was fun. What happened was I was like, I hope people listened and they have things to say about it because I said a lot when I talked to Andrea. So,
I think it was good to hear again what we had heard from like Teresa Wen and Kelly Mack and Ian Watlington and Chanda Hinton, you know, a lot of people who we've had on. That, you know, most people who are disabled acquire their disability. And to also hear her talk about what really like was brought home to me, especially recently, was Andrea talking about different aids and assistive devices that she was choosing to use and having resisted them and then going ahead and quote unquote giving in and realizing how much easier her life was.
Yeah.
And that perspective of like, there's a perspective outside of the disability community. And in, I think the American culture in general is that if you need a thing to help you live your daily life, then you are broken and wrong. And there's not an understanding that no, this thing actually helps you do more and be more present and be more of who you are. I was reminded of that because I've recently stayed with some friends and one of them has a chronic ankle injury that makes stairs hard. And they live in a two-story house and they are fortunately have the means to do this, are talking about putting in an elevator in their house. Now it's really rare for someone to have the means to do that. That's an immense privilege. But this person's partner is wringing their hands about it because what would that mean if, you know, this person with a very painful chronic ankle injury suddenly didn't have to use the stairs? It would mean your partner was happier and your life is better. That's what it would mean.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, not to cut this short or to sort of like make a weird loop, but that conversation is the conversation that our massage profession organizations are having. Like, well, what would happen if X acronym didn't exist anymore? I don't know. Let's really walk it all the way home and imagine a world without this organization, or if these two organizations became one organization, like everybody could walk better. Everybody could come to dinner. Like, can we get out of our own small worlds of, but this has been so-and-so founded this organization, or, you know, the birthing energy of this organization was X, Y, or Z. And so we have to honor that. We can honor it by allowing it to die sometimes. Like, that's welcoming something else is a way of honoring something. But that, you know, clearly, obviously, lots of compassion for the partner of the person with the ankle problem that, like, is this the life we want to live where we have an elevator in our house? Like, oh, this just showed me all these stories I didn't know I was telling about all kinds of things, right? But yeah, I think that our conversation with Andrea sort of spanned everything in some meta ways. And I feel like this is part of the problem with why in some ways we can't move forward. And now I'm gonna have to read this damn book that Corey's talking about. Because like,
it's so good.
I'm sure there are things at work that I don't fully understand, but I see a lot of parallels between when healing and relief happen in end of life processes, in anti-oppression and anti-racism work, that like those, when those things are able to happen, there is vulnerability and surrender and a willingness to be open to a new thing that we do not have right now. We have a very desperate clinging energy in many of our organizations that this must exist. It has existed for so long. What would happen if? And instead of really mapping out what would happen if, we just stop there and panic and pour money into it and hope that things will get better. And as Corey just shared with us, this is a well-documented phenomenon.
Right. We keep feeding the patient who can't swallow anymore. Just keep packing their cheeks full, hoping that somehow.
That's right, because food is love.
I think it's also interesting that as a profession and a group of people who are very into the world and life and cycles and chakras and all of these like really spiritual ideas that are very much about how things end and how things begin and how nothing ends and how nothing begins. And we're really into cycles and we love it and we will not let go of what we have created.
turn, people.
We just cling so hard to this thing that isn't working. Even though I think most of us really do deeply believe in those cycles and that idea of life. But man, is it scary when it's right in front of you.
Well, that's the thing, right? We believe in the concept of change and cycle, right? But like when I say like, no, now you have to get in the cycle. Oh, no, I'm good. I'm all set. I'm gonna be over here.
Well, and to bring a little compassion to it, I think, you know, I think of Ram Dass, right? This guy who trained for death his whole life. And then, you know, when he actually was on the gurney in the hospital, he was like, oh, I don't actually want to do this. Like, no, thank you on the death thing, actually.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty scared, feeling something vaguely like abject terror. Wow. Turns out. Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we need to stop trying to prepare for the death.
Or you just can't know prepare it's for the Spanish Inquisition.
Well, or just it's gonna be scary. I mean, mm-hmm. I know I love to, you know, burn it to the ground, but you know, fire is scary and can be a little dangerous. And I think we're just not good at being scared.
So Thanos was right. That's what we're landing on.
Listen, wow.
This show has it all. The Big Lebowski, the Avengers.
We have been all over town.
All over.
Yeah, we need a new t-shirt now. Totally. Thanos was right.
If we talk about Star Trek, we've done the whole nerd tour. So,
you know. Stay tuned, everybody, for a Star Trek office hour someday. It's going to happen, I promise.
Oh, Rebecca and I would have so much fun doing that.
Seriously.
Yeah, man. Well, that's good because I'm counting on both of you. So,
see, we got to rope Sakina into that one too.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, so much fun. Yep.
See what fun we have.
So much fun.
Yeah, even when we're talking about dumpster fires.
Well, with the marshmallows, it's not so bad. Like Cal said,
marshmallows. No,
not
doing it. No.
Chocolate graham crackers.
Yeah, that's good. That works.
Hot butter.
What
rum?
Does everybody have against marshmallows?
Mm-mm. Well, for one, they have gelatin in them.
Fair.
Not all of them. You can get vegan marshmallows.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe the Girl Scouts.
So it's not so much the marshmallows as their proximity to other questionable practices.
Well, that, and they forced that, you know, you have to sit by the fire and eat the marshmallow in the dark, right. And it burns 100%, turns into carbon, and you eat it, and you're traumatized for life. I mean, it's all the Girl Scouts' fault.
Obviously, people. Obviously. Wow.
Yeah. And you have to use a stick that's impossible to clean. And yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is where we've ended up, people.
I'm learning so many things.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I wasn't a Girl Scout.
So are the Girl Scouts.
Oh, true. True. This is a totally true story. When I was a little girl and the Girl Scouts like showed up at school to do their like recruiting thing, you know, I came home and I said to my mom, I want to be a brownie. And my mom said to me, why be a brownie when you could be a chocolate cake? And I was completely confounded by this Zen cone that she had presented me with. And I never asked to be a Girl Scout ever again.
And I present you, Carrie Jordan, the chocolate cake.
Ta-da!
So people, like, what do we do now?
Burn it down.
Read books about systems. I'm telling you.
Burn it down. Read books about systems.
Have another season of the podcast where we dig into the massage profession itself.
What a great idea, Rebecca.
Next season, we're going to talk about how did we get here and where is here?
Here. Yeah.
And how did other people get past here and what we can learn from them?
Yes.
You guys, it's going to be so good. Corey already has a whole wall with like the red strings and like photographs and wait till you see.
Totally.
Amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it's on the other side of this camera.
My toes are curling in anticipation.
Ready? Yeah.
It is a visit to the Q continuum. There we go. Got Star Trek. Oh,
nice. Nice.
Wow.
I think we should wrap it up here before too many other references get us in trouble legally. I would like to tell everybody that they can join our Patreon for as little as $1. We have all kinds of references on there that we're liable for, I guess, at patreon.com/interdisciplinary. We have Corey's cartoon countdowns. We have dark documentaries. We have things about men and grizzly bears, and it's just all kinds of outrageous things.
And you get a sticker.
And you get a sticker. It's adorable, by the way. You should check out our t-shirts available at TeePublic. There'll be a link in the show notes. We've got some fantastic ones from the conference up. There are some librarian quotes. There is a rock pushers shirt for those of you who eternally push that rock up that mountain every day. We have a shirt for you now. I have one in the mail, so I have a shirt too. Very exciting.
Awesome. I don't think your husband likes it when you call him the mail.
But, well, he does actually get the mail, so, you know, he's... My
Thank
male
you,
man? Man?
Yes.
Male?
Oh, yes. Exactly.
I feel like this is turning into an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie now. So
it is. We are so glad that you all keep coming with us. We hope you'll keep coming with us.
We do. We are excited about next season. We really, really are. We have a lot to talk about. We promise no answers. We will ask a lot of questions. Hopefully you'll be there with your questions too. Thanks, everyone.
First episode comes out April 23rd.
See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Interdisciplinary is produced by Healwell. Our theme music is by Harry Pickens. New episodes are available weekly through your favorite podcast outlet. And you can send us an email at podcast@healwell.org. Podcast@healwell.org. Thanks for listening.